Welcome everyone back to the Multiple Takes podcast. I again am one of your hosts, Jacob Hall.
And I'm Graham Harris. It's good to be on another episode with you, Jake.
It really is. I'm excited to talk about these films. I think we're going to have very much multiple takes, no pun intended, for these films. Maybe some of them will have similar. I'm very curious. So, yeah.
Maybe so. We'll see.
We'll definitely see. Well, the first one we got up is Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, that, my goodness, it was marketed like it was going to be the one last ride, end of the Fast and Furious like franchise. The way it was doing, it's like, I need you to trust me one last time. All the thing that was needed to be added to it was family. Anyway, but no, I actually was very excited for this because I'll be honest, I wanted to watch all of the others go leading up to it because I don't think I've seen every single Mission Impossible, at least all the way through. And so I had seen, I think, from Ghost Protocol on, the one where he climbs up the tallest building in the world. And I really liked those films, but I just hadn't gone back to rewatch them. And I enjoyed Dead Reckoning at the time. It was called Dead Reckoning Part 1, changed to just Dead Reckoning now. But yeah, man, I'm excited to talk about this one. What was your thoughts on Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, and Mission Impossible franchise, I guess, in general, if you have?
Yeah, so I think I also had not seen the first three Mission Impossibles, but I was like the perfect age when Ghost Protocol came out for it to be like really into it.
So
I remember that being like a big deal, and then I've seen the rest of them since, and I rewatched Dead Reckoning.
Yeah,
like 2 or 3 days before I saw Final Reckoning, because I was like, because to me, the Mission Impossible films are not like, they almost, like, the plot doesn't really matter. Like, they're just, it's, and I think that's true of how they make these films. I'm not in the writer's room, but it would seem to me like the creative process is Tom Cruise and whoever brainstorming and being like, all right, this one, I want to be like strapped to the side of a plane or climbing up the Burj Khalifa or like hanging onto a helicopter, like whatever it is. Like, now we just got to figure out how to get me there. Like, that's that's the like writing process, and that's fine. Like, it works. It's fun. It's not like super, I don't know, like you don't really think about it too much. You just kind of go in, you see him do his cool stunts, and like, but the stunts are so cool that it like is able to transcend having a basically meaningless plot. And so like I was watching Dead Reckoning again, mostly because I couldn't remember a single thing about that movie.
That's fair.
And other than the set pieces, like the jumping
it's the stuff that sticks with you.
Yeah, like that's you know, I remember the Burj Khalifa, I remember the strapping to the plane, but like I don't remember, you know, I couldn't tell you the plot of Ghost Protocol other than they spend the whole movie around the Burj Khalifa.
Yeah.
So like I'm watching Dead Reckoning and I'm like, okay, like this is okay. It's not my favorite Mission Impossible, but it's all right.
Yeah.
And then I go into the Final Reckoning, and the first like hour of the Final Reckoning is like a previously on that you used to get on like weekly TV shows.
Right.
Like, I was like, all right, cool. I'm glad we're recapping this film that I just spent like 2 hours watching the other day. Like that was a waste of time.
He's because like, dang it, I didn't even need to watch that.
Yeah, they're
Come
just
on.
Showing me all the stuff that I could have just skipped that. All right, thanks. So like, I felt like that was a bit of a drag at the beginning, and maybe if you hadn't seen it recently, that feels like appropriate or like helpful.
Yeah, you're like, I can't remember this, but we're gonna go watch anyway. And you're like, oh, okay, I get a recap.
and you know, maybe that's who it's for, because like I said, like the plots don't really matter, it's just about the stunts. And so if you don't remember the plot of the last movie, which you probably wouldn't, that's a helpful, I guess, like thing to help get you on. But like, I guess that was my probably biggest problem with this movie, is that they tried to spend so much time like insisting that the plot mattered, and more so than the rest of them, where it's like, all right, here's the villain, here's the thing you got to get, or the place you got to go, or whatever, and like, go do your thing.
Yeah.
But it was like, it tried to do this whole like every decision you've ever made has led to this, and every mission has built to this one.
Right.
And it's just like, know what you're good at. Know what you do. Like, don't spend an hour and a half trying to set up all this, like, background stuff and these extra characters and, like, bringing characters back that, like, nobody cared about. And
right, yeah.
It was just tried to do a little too much. Once you finally get to the, like, really cool action parts, you know, with those two planes at the end, like, it's so cool and it's so good.
Yeah.
And it's worth the time getting there.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't want to rewatch the whole movie again ever because it's just like, oh, it just takes so long to get there. I just want to go on YouTube and look up the cool stunt clips or listen to Tom Cruise talk about, like, all the cool stunt stuff they did, because that stuff is genuinely awesome, but it just like takes so long to get there.
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, I get you. I mean, did you have any other thoughts before I share mine on that? Like, I mean,
that's pretty much it. Like, I will say the submarine sequence was cool and needed to be cut down in the editing room.
Yeah.
It was like, it was neat, but it just went on forever.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just emblematic of the rest of the movie, or like how I was feeling at that point in the movie where I was like, get on with it. We came to see the cool plane stunts. Like, give us what we came for.
Listen, I'll just say this about this movie. I think if you had cut 30, maybe 40, depending on what, 30, 40 minutes from this movie, it would have flowed great. Like, I think I loved the submarine sequence, but I agree. It needed to be cut. They literally recorded, it felt like they didn't leave anything on the editing room floor of that.
Yeah.
Like, they just kept, and I'm like, they're really selling the tension. I'm invested. I think one thing that they did do a good job, and I don't remember how well the other films did this, because again, it's been a while, but like, I did love that a part of the story, like the things he had to do to get to the point, like, listen, one thing you got to give credit to the story for is like, oh, we literally have to get this done in order to stop a cataclysmic event. Like, everything's playing into the tension. I'm like, okay, like I get that. I see where we're going here. I'm like, okay. And I guess I'm starting with like a little bit of my negatives at the beginning, but like, I think that if you have taken out like 30 to 40 minutes of this movie, some of it, I think, keep some of the flashback stuff, because I think it helps add to, oh, okay, so there's some key connections here, and you didn't need a ton, but I felt like they did so many of them that you could have cut a few of them down. This movie was very, very long, and it didn't need to be. And I think
it's 2 hours and 50 minutes long.
Yeah. And look, man, by the end, like, every single big action, honestly, I not only liked the big action scenes, I was surprised how much I liked the combat moments between characters that they would do. Like, I felt like they had good moments. Like, you got Tom Cruise, I think he's in the submarine. By the way, guys, we're talking spoilers. If you haven't seen it, well, sorry.
I don't think anything we've said so far has been spoiler, because it's just the stuff that's in the trailer. I mean, it's a Mission Impossible movie. Like, you should know what to expect.
A lot of action, spy espionage, but mostly action.
They got to save the world, whatever.
Yeah, they got to save the world. There's always some potential death to a lot of people. Anyways, but I loved it. Like, I think it's in the submarine where they're in there and someone tries to kill Ethan.
Yeah.
And I love that moment. It's like, he has to, like, something about some of the little combat moments they'd have, I'm like, you know what? I love the big stunt sequences, but I actually love how well they shot some of the fighting between characters and how they did some of that. I would even say, too, at the beginning, you had a very long intro before even the intro Mission Impossible theme came on.
Yeah.
And I think that could have been even cut. Again, like, I think for me, the biggest issue I have with this film isn't the acting. I think the acting was great. Isn't even the plot. I like how they connected things, and I like how they really gave some, they really built the tension with what was going on. And I liked, I even love how, yes, it's fantastical, but you hear some of the stuff they're talking about, you're like, how creepy is this for now? The, like, some of the AI, the entity, the whole thing of, like, yeah, like this, uh-oh, like, there's some aspects of this movie I'm like, this seems like it could be a little too real for now. I don't like it. just the way they're talking about some of it. But anyways, like, with all of that being said, I just think the biggest issue for me, and it seems like maybe a little bit for you, is the length. You cut down 30 or 40 minutes. Yeah. This movie, it probably could be one of the best ones without the length being so long.
Yeah, there's a pretty solid 120-minute movie, I think, buried in there. But
yeah.
Like, yeah, cutting all the, cutting some of the flashback stuff, cutting, like, all of the cuts happening probably in the first hour. Like, because, I mean, once you get to the action scenes, like, you're like, this is what we came for. Like, this is awesome.
Right. And I think, too, even in that, like, you would have had a 10 times, like, I think my score would have gone up 3 or 4 points just from, like, oh, like, the movie, like, the story, the plot, everything played even into the action. Like, you're wanting them, you're rooting for them to get this done. You're feeling the intensity of all these moments. And it's a movie that feels like it's the right amount of length. The issue is that's not the case, because I think it could have been great at 2 hours, 2 hours of 10 or something like that. I will say this, though. Something I was actually surprised by watching this, is it Vic Rames who plays...
Ving Rames.
Ving Rames, who plays...
Luther.
I love... This may be my favorite time watching... Like, I always liked that character in these movies. I loved him in this film. Just the way... Like, it felt like he was giving more dramatic performances in his moments than past films.
Ving Rhames is the man. Like, he rocks.
And he did a great job. And he's not even in this movie a lot. But he does a great job. And I thought he was great in it. I honestly thought, again, the acting all around was good. I'm trying to think of, like, I even loved, what's the girl's name? Who they bring from Dead Reckoning. I'm forgetting the name of the girl. She's also in Guardians of the Galaxy. I think you know exactly.
Palm, what's her face?
Clementia
for Clement, however you say it.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But she was great in this movie, in my opinion. She was great as, Palm Clemente, as Paris. I loved her moments. Even, I laughed so hard with the whole thing with her and Simon Pegg's character Benji at the end. Yeah. Just like slapping him, stay awake. Like this whole, like, I loved those. To me, I think something I've loved about the past two Mission Impossible movies, maybe this isn't for everybody, but I actually liked some of the humor moments that they'll throw in amidst all the intensity. Like, it didn't feel like they were just trying to throw joke after joke after joke. They just have those moments where, yeah, this is kind of fun. Like he's falling asleep. He told you he was going to probably fall asleep, but then slap him away. Wake up. Sorry. I dozed off. Like, it's little moments like that. I thought the chemistry between all the characters was good. The villain, he was from the last one, Gabriel. I thought he was fine. His comeuppance. That was brutal. That was very brutal. Yeah. But yeah, man, I thought overall, and it felt like the final Mission Impossible film. They'll probably make another one, but it felt like that. Like, when you watch it, you're
like, I don't know if they will or not.
I don't know. But, like, I think it was, if this is the final Mission Impossible film, and the biggest thing I can complain about is the length, and that's my biggest negative personally, I think it's pretty solid finishing up for a film, if that's the biggest thing. But again, I wish it was a little bit shorter. It would have made the movie, I think, 10 times better.
It just kind of, it drags. And so that by the time you get to where you want to go, you've already looked at your watch 3 or 4 times thinking, like, how long is this movie going
to
be?
Dude, that happened to me, because I like this film, but it's so long. Like, there are scenes I'm like, what deleted scenes were there? There better not be any at this point.
Yeah, I can't imagine they filmed much more than that.
Like, and I think I say it like I don't like the film. I do like the movie. I just wish it had. That's the thing. Like, I think there's all these great things in it. If you only had a little bit less of a runtime, like cut down some stuff, I think it would have been 10 times better. So I don't know.
I'm with you. Like, I don't love the humor element as much as you might. Like, to me, it reminds me of one of the things that I don't like about the Marvel movies, when they it can't decide if it wants to be a tense moment or if it wants to be a comedy moment, and it's like it's too much whiplash of like, this is funny, this is sad, this is funny, this is scary or like intense. Yeah. It's like, and this one, it wasn't as bad as, it didn't quite get to Marvel levels for me, but it was like, now that you mention that, like, I liked the scene where like she was having to keep him alive, but the humor was pushing it, I think, a little bit at times. It didn't take away from me, but it got close.
I also like how the movie ended. It was a nice little ending. Like, you see them looking at each other, and they just all walk away. Like, it's like, which may have been like most Mission Impossible, but I like how it ended. Like, it was a nice, okay, we see each other, we did the mission, we're done. And just heading on separate ways. I kind of hope that this is the final one. Because, and not because I thought, again, I don't think the film's bad. I just think that you set it up well, even with the flashbacks, even though I was like, okay, wow, there's a lot of flashbacks. You did the whole thing of like, look, this is what he's been working towards. This is doing it. I like where it all came to a close, came to a conclusion. I think leave these characters for just help them be done, or if you're gonna bring it back, wait a long while before you ever
wait 15 years and then do a live action remake.
Wait, what? What?
That was How to Train Your Dragon, Jack.
I know. We'll talk about that the next week.
That'll be on the next episode.
the next podcast. overall, my final thoughts are, like, it was a good film, and it would have been 10 times better if it had had 30 to 40 minutes of it cut out.
Yeah, there's a 120-minute movie in there that's pretty solid, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but the length and the pacing just got in its own way, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. All right, Graham.
You wanna give it a score, Jake, out of 10?
Score out of 10. I think because it does take a couple points off for just how long it was, I think I can only give this... I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay.
It's a good movie, but again, it would have probably been 8 or 9, maybe more of an 8.5 if it had less runtime.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd give it like a 5 out of 10. It's firmly in the like, all right.
Yeah.
Camp for me. Like, I wasn't mad about it, but I also wasn't like, I didn't immediately like rush to tell everybody I knew that like they should go see it. It was like, all right, this is all right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I gotta say this too. It's doing just about how much the last Mission Impossible did. $506 million. I thought this one was probably better than the last one.
I gave the last one the same rating on Letterboxd, like 2.5 stars.
Oh, okay.
It's a little shorter, but not, the action isn't as good. I don't know.
What is your favorite Mission Impossible movie?
Because
I know what mine is.
Like, I have to rewatch them because to me, in like my memory, the Mission Impossible movies are just whatever the big stunt set piece is.
Right. Yeah.
So I'd be tempted to say Ghost Protocol because the stunt set piece in that one is, I think, the best one they did. But I remember thinking that Fallout was a really good movie.
Fallout was my favorite.
I think.
Yeah.
I don't remember much about what happens in Fallout other than there's a nuclear bomb that they've got to like defuse or whatever. It's pretty standard stuff.
I liked Henry Cavill's addition in that film.
Oh yeah, he's in that, yeah.
I think what I liked about that film was it was a good mix of the stunt pieces and I liked the plot. Like I liked both. The fighting too was great. Like the whole joke of Henry Cavill like almost like a gun getting his arms ready. is great. But like no, just in general, I think that's my favorite. The whole helicopter sequence at the end. Yeah. Is really
the helicopter
good.
Sequence is really good. I'm putting a lot of trust here in like 2018 me, because I do remember I remember specifically after watching that,
yeah,
thinking this is probably the best one.
Yeah.
But I don't remember now like exactly why I thought that. There you go. So maybe it's Fallout. I don't know. We could rewatch them all at some point, but
yeah. Ranking the Mission Impossible film versus the Fast and Furious. No, just kidding.
That'd be wacky.
That's
too much family for one episode, I think.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Oh man. All right. Well, we've talked about Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning. Graham, what's our next film?
All right. Next we're talking about Karate Kid Legends.
Yeah, my most anticipated of the summer. My most anticipated of the summer.
Really? This is your most anticipated of the summer?
Listen, I'm a Karate Kid nerd. I've watched all the Karate Kid films.
Still, like, that surprises me over like Fantastic Four or Superman. Or...
Listen, I'm very excited for both of those. I think it's because, you know, Cobra Kai just ended. And while I like that show, I'm also someone that's like, yeah, they do some stupid, ridiculous crap in here. but like, and I will say this just before we get into it. Like, I heard people say, oh, they need, like, after the film, oh, they need to have more connection to Cobra Kai. I'm like, no, they did not. No, this is a movie. Not everybody has watched Cobra Kai. They needed to make a Karate Kid movie, not a Cobra Kai movie.
You don't want to get into like the Marvel situation, no. Like where like you have a TV show and you don't want to like throw it out, but also you know that not everybody's seen it, so you can't like rely on it. I hadn't seen Cobra Kai, so I've heard it's good, but I have not.
And that's one thing I love. I will say. As we're getting into this movie had no connection to Cobra Kai minus one joke at the very end of the film, which had no like that was it. So Graham, I'm ready to hear your thoughts on this one. Or well, I guess right. Wait, you start or did I start last time? I guess you started.
You can start Karate Kid because you're the Karate Kid fan among us. I didn't know that about you, but yeah, I'm pleased to learn that.
Yeah, so for people who don't know, like and this is a series of films that is interesting for me because the first Karate Kid movie I ever saw, if I remember correctly, was the remake with Jackie Chan.
The one with Will Smith's kid?
Yeah. Yeah, with Jaden Smith. So that was the first one I ever saw.
Nice.
And then I think we rented the original. And I love the original way more than the remake. And I think I started to think, oh, I hate the remake, but I actually don't. I think they're both good. My favorite Karate Kid is Karate Kid Part 2. I can't remember what year it came out, but it's when we finally get to see, you know, in the first one we saw Daniel learning from Miyagi. Mm-hmm. And in the second one you still see that, but it's going back to where Miyagi grew up, where he escaped, where he left in Okinawa. And it's a beautiful story, and I love learning the whole thing of Miyagi Karate, Miyagi-do Karate. it's just really cool, and I love that story. It felt like, oh, this is like a really good sequel where they up the ante a little bit and they give some really good dramatic moments and this idea of culture back then of honor and breaking that, what that looks like. Fighting there was like the person who wins is the one who is not dead. Like there's a deepness into it. Part 3 comes around, it's kind of trying to be a little bit of one and two, and it just doesn't work as well. They had the next Karate Kid and then the remake years later. The next Karate Kid was with Miyagi, but not Daniel.
Right.
And so then they have the remake with Jackie Chan, which is technically now not a remake because they're in the same universe. in this film,
which does have some interesting implications for the 2010 Karate Kid remake slash whatever it is.
So you're saying to me 30-40 years in between, these two kids had the same exact problem. Almost exactly.
Well, also that movie, like, not to get too deep into the weeds, but that movie isn't even, it's not, it shouldn't be called The Karate Kid because he doesn't do karate, he does kung fu.
It should be called The Kung Fu Kid.
We don't need to get too deep into the weeds on that.
I agree with that. I do. That was something that bothered me after thinking about it longer. I'm like, wait a second. Something's not right here. But no, so I was really excited for this film. Again, I liked Cobra Kai, but I didn't want, I tell people I loved Cobra Kai because it had those soap opera dramatic moments plus that 80s cheese a little bit just mashed together, yeah, all together, which was fun. But this is a movie. I want it to be better acted. I want it to look better. I want it to look more higher budgeted. And I got to say this. Look, the film was not what I expected it to be in on one specific area. Or two, I guess. Number one, they market this film. You see it on the poster that Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio are the main focus of this film, with Ben Wong, who plays, don't make me forget the name of the
Lee Fong.
Lee Fong, yes, thank you.
I just
Sorry.
Looked it up because I also had forgotten.
Yeah, Lee Fong, and I like that they kind of switched it up on me or switched it up a little bit. Where Lee Fong, he has been training in Kung Fu. He has been training Kung Fu under Jackie Chan's character. Again, spoilers. Jackie Chan's character and how his mom doesn't want him to train, and there's like a big reason why. Like there's a heartbreaking reason why. And I'm like, okay. And then the beginning of the film when they move to New York is the fact that he already knows how to fight, but he doesn't know karate, he knows kung fu. And it's almost like the story goes into one direction where I think, I can't remember the name of the, I think Joshua Jackson is the,
yeah,
one of the actors, where he's actually teaching this guy who sees him fight in the middle of an alley or gets knocked out in the middle of an alley, and Lee Fong has to fight these people. And is fighting off loan sharks for this guy's who's coming to collect money for his pizzeria thing. It's so, yeah, it was very, I was like, okay, this is not the Karate Kid plot I thought was going to happen. But I liked it. I liked that they, yeah, were like, okay, let's do something a little different with this. And you still have the bully in the film. You still have the love interest in the film. And I kind of bought everybody's chemistry. I liked how they were doing things. But I will say, kind of going into positives and negatives, Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio are not the main star of this film.
Right.
And Lee Fong is. And, you know, when I got over that a little bit, I actually really... First off, I've seen Ben Wong, who played Lee Fong in this movie, and one, mm-hmm, other thing, and that was American Born Chinese, which was a canceled Disney Plus show. But he was great in it. And I was, like, really excited when I saw it. I was like, oh, he's getting a movie. Okay, that's great. And watching him, he does basically almost if not all of his stunts in this film, and he does a great job. I thought he acted well. I thought for a guy who's like his first big, I guess, movie role is this, he does a great job in my opinion. I thought he did a good job interacting with all the characters. I liked I forget the actress who plays his mom. She plays
Ming-Na Wen,
yes, plays Mulan in the original Mulan, but like she was great in this. She's kind of the one thing I will say as thinking about it, she's kind of absent for good bits, yeah, of the film.
She only kind of shows up like when it's necessary for the plot,
right? Yeah. And I, but even with that, like that to me was like a little bit of a minor thing. But I liked learning as you learn and realize the reason why she doesn't want her son to train is because his brother got killed. He did it. Like, yeah, he won a tournament. Everything was great. And then his brother gets killed. And it's like, okay, that would make sense for a mom not to want her son to fight anymore. Cause it seemed to lead to that. And then I liked the whole film, even leading up to the, you know, tournament, the whole thing was to hopefully get enough money to help for the pizza place that Joshua Jackson's character in as after he's injured and all these things. I liked that whole plot. The other thing that was a little bit of a downgrade was the bully. He doesn't really have much. Like, he does a good job playing with, but there's no deeper, like with Johnny, you learn a little bit more stuff in the original. And then even with the kid from the Jackie Chan one, you get this, he's being the teacher is abusing his students. Like, there's tension. There's not really that much for him. He does a fine.
He's kind of like a mean guy.
Yeah,
that's his character.
Yeah, that's what he is, and he does a fine job playing that role. He plays his role, I guess, is the way to put it. And it's interesting because I know a lot of people said, "Oh, it's like the tale of two movies," and I get that. I get where they're coming from. Where you have this whole thing with Lee Fong in New York, he's got his own story, and then the tournament kind of just comes in there as a way to, it's mentioned at the beginning of the film, but a way to help someone he had met there. And I get what people are saying, the tale of two movies. I didn't mind the way they did it. Maybe it's just me. But I like how then you have this whole thing of Jackie Chan goes and gets Ralph Macchio's help to help train his a guy that's like a son to him. And I like the continuation. I like the whole thing of it's like, so what am I supposed to do? Just let him train so he can become like his brother? And then Jackie Chan goes like, so he can't, so he doesn't become like his brother or doesn't end up like his brother. Like, I like that. And I like how, I even like how stylized the, what was the tournament called? The five something?
Five boroughs.
Five boroughs. I like how stylized they made it, where it's like a fight all around the city, like different fights. I even like how Daniel and Mr. Han get involved near the end of one of them. It's like people are starting to attack. It's just like, what are these long sharks showing up for? But I like how they did that stuff. I'm going to stop talking for a little bit because I think I'm going to enjoy it. But I really enjoyed this film. What are your thoughts, Graham, just in general?
You alluded to the whole, like, tale of two movies thing, and that's really what it was for me. I thought the whole, like, two branches thing was really appropriate, because it felt like...
That's what the movie was.
It felt like the movie was, like, two branches, and I totally agree with you what you said about, like, I wasn't expecting the young Kung Fu master training the old boxer.
Yeah.
Like, helping, like... But I love that. I was like, oh, this is like, because it started off like, oh, this is the Karate Kid formula. Like, he gets a black eye, he loses the fight, the girl, like, whatever.
The and girl.
Then, like, it was like, I was like, oh, I've seen this movie before.
What have I
and
seen?
Then, but then it like kind of flips on its head and it's like, oh, it's the young guy training the old guy. Like, that's a really cool kind of twist to this. I'm into it. Like, that's, let's do it. And then that lasts for like 30 or 40 minutes. And then Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio show up and it's like, oh, now it's just, it's like Karate Kid again, but also like,
yeah,
Ben Wong is, he kind of like, once they both show up in New York, Ben Wong kind of takes a back seat. And
yeah,
like Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan like absolutely like dominate the screen when they're on. And like, it's like there's like three or four times in the movie where you're like, I don't know who this is even about. Like,
yeah,
is this about Ben Wong's character? Is this about the old like boxer guy? Is this about Ralph Macchio? Like, I don't know. Like, it just, it couldn't figure out. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it felt like too many cooks in the kitchen, like trying to make something. And I think like one of those movies might have been okay, but it ends up like trying to fit like two or three movies into one movie. I also like, it just, everything about it was just so inconsistent. Like, so I liked the, a lot of people I've seen have like called the film like a TikTok edit, like the way that it like fast paced and like super stylized, like in the editing in the beginning. I was into it. I was like, this is like, it's kind of got like a Scott Pilgrim Into the Spider-Verse like kind of thing going on. Like, I'm here for this. Like, let's like ramp up the stylization. And then it kind of like loses it for like the middle half of the movie. It's like, all right, we're not doing that anymore.
And then the five boroughs.
In the end, it's like, we're back to being super stylized. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't care one way or the other. Just like pick a direction and stick with it. Like, it just, you can't give me whiplash like that.
Yeah.
And it was like the same way with like, so like there were parts of it that I was like, wow, that looks really cool and really like stylish. And then like you have that like alleyway scene, which again, I'm like, I feel torn about this alleyway scene because on one hand, the choreography I think was really good. And it was kind of like, it was like, oh, this is like a Jackie Chan movie.
Yeah.
Like, we're so back. This feels like vintage Jackie Chan. Like, I'm here for this. But on the other hand, like, this alleyway set felt like the cheapest backlot studio set New York alleyway that they could find. It was like, if I had seen this set on an episode, on like a sitcom, like How I Met Your Mother or Friends or something, I'd be like, yeah, well, it's a New York alleyway on a sitcom. Like, it's not supposed to be, it's a studio show. Like, it is what it is.
Right.
But then, like, in this movie, it's like, I'm sitting in the theater and I'm like, what? This alleyway looks so bad. Like, this, they couldn't spend a little bit more money and make this, like,
really
convincing. Like, there were so many of those scenes where I was like, it took me out because I was like, you're not in New York. You're at Hollywood Studios or whatever. You're in LA. You're in some studio backlot. Like, this is not, it's not convincing. It looks terrible. And then they'd have something that was like super stylish and cool, and I was like, oh wow, this looks good. And then a scene where I was like, this looks so bad. And it's just like back and forth.
Yeah.
I think like Ben Wong was good. Again, like, I think in the latter half of the film, he kind of gets overshadowed. I don't really think that's his fault.
No, I don't think that's his fault either.
You're on the screen with Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But like, I thought he was fine. I don't think he was a very convincing high schooler. Like, he was, the whole time I was like, this dude's 25. Like, he's not a high schooler. Don't try to pull this on me. Like, you're not fooling anybody.
Graham says, shut up, man. You don't know what you're saying. He's born in 2000. He was born in 2000, yeah.
He's 25. Like, I was, he was probably 24 when they filmed it, but.
Yeah, to me, like, he looks more like a high schooler than some of the other high school people that you put in films. Say, oh yeah, they're high school. I'm like, I'm sorry, Riverdale.
It wasn't quite like One Tree Hill levels of like that dude's 30 years old and he's playing a high school junior. But
yeah,
it was pushing it. It definitely was noticeable for me.
Right.
Like, there was some soundtrack and editing choices that I was like, all right, this is what we're doing. The California love, like, needle drop when he goes to LA. I'm like, yeah, I mean, yeah. I kind of should have seen that coming.
Yeah. But I get what you're saying with some of that stuff. Maybe I didn't feel that as much with you, but I get what you're saying too. Like, with some, I actually think that one thing I will, and I think we both agree on this part. Like, I loved the thing we both said is like, I loved the different of, oh, Lee's training. I want to get the character's name right. What is Joshua Jackson's
character? Victor.
Victor, yeah. I liked Lee training Victor, and I liked the whole thing of Lee, Victor, and Sadie Stanley's character, which doesn't show her character's name on this.
But Mia?
Mia, yeah. Like, I love that whole dynamic going on. And yeah, I think there was some of that lost when Ralph Macchio and Jack. I think one thing that could have really helped this movie fix it a little bit, bringing them in earlier. I don't know where you would have brought them in.
Yeah, maybe.
What I mean by that is maybe even having a little bit more understanding of Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio, the whole thing of the two branches, one tree. I feel like you could have just done a little bit more with that. I don't know. But again, at the same time, I almost wonder, like, kind of what you were saying, like, you know, if we're going to do that focus of, you know, Lee has to he's trying to help Victor out with his thing of learning how to box even better and everything what mm-hmm. he's doing. Like, keep that going. And maybe even if you're going to have Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan's character, which they do have them in there, still have Lee as the focus, but they're there. Like, they're around him.
Yeah.
I loved some of his interactions with them when they go, he's like laying on the ground. He's like, there's two of them. Like, he's just like, I had one master. Now I have two.
Yeah. And why? they're both like body slamming him. And it's yeah. like, it's yeah, like they're competing to see who can be like the most macho karate kung fu guy.
Yeah. And it's but so it's,
but it's
funny.
Like, it's totally losing like what we're trying to do here. They're we're kind of getting distracted.
Them both yelling, focus. It's like,
yeah.
I didn't hate them being there. I loved seeing them there. But I almost wish that there was a little bit more of a connection. Like, maybe, and again, I'm not saying make the movie longer, but maybe have a little bit more intuitive, maybe a scene longer, like one more scene where they're talking of Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan's character of like, you know, maybe he's like, I can't go back to Lee and help him. He needs two people. He needs more than just me there. And then they both end up showing up in that, which, by the way, I got to say, that scene where Jackie Chan shows up in the apartment was hilarious. I love, he's like, keeps hitting him against the light. He's like, see, now you see me. It's like, I loved, and apparently Jackie Chan had a lot to play in that. He came up with the whole thing of the window being open and him having like a string to pull the pans, the pots and pans that were in there. Like, he came up with that idea on the spot. I'm like, that's great. And apparently they were trying to get like stunt doubles to do the whole thing where Ben like spins on the table and then falls off. They were trying to get stunt doubles. And then someone joked as the stunt double saying, if you guys don't get this, I'm just gonna get Ben to do it. And apparently he did it, and he has a background in dance, so it helped a lot too. And he spun on the table and did it. And I'm like, that's great. I loved seeing that moment. And I think it added some dramaticness to it. With Jackie being there, of that reminder of like, look, I want him to not end up like his brother, but he needs to do this. Like, I love, we didn't talk about it, but that ending moment with, not at the very end of the movie, but the end of the tournament, when the guy comes right back after him again, and he mm-hmm. takes him down. And I love that moment where he's looking at Jackie and then like, oh, is he gonna finish him? Unlike, you know, and I liked it that he didn't do it, but I love that they held on that intense moment because it added something to it. It's like, oh, I mean, I get why you'd want to do it, but don't do it. Like, I think that added something to it. So I think overall the movie focused on Li Fong's journey with the whole thing. I don't know how you would have brought in the masters, because I get why they brought him in. I get the point. Right. But I don't, I almost think that maybe you have a point where Lee is like, I don't know, maybe very emotional, very broken down from being where he's at. And he calls Jackie's character maybe in the middle of the film. And that's when Jackie goes off. He says, like, I can't do this on my own. I got to go see a friend. And it ends up being Daniel. And they have more of a conversation to bring them back in. I feel like that would have almost added a little bit more of two branches, one tree.
I think there's so many cool things you could have done. I think you could have had a really cool movie where like Ben Wong starts off training under Jackie Chan and then mm-hmm. he moves to America and starts training under Ralph Macchio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then like the two, like Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan are at odds. And then like they come together at the end and realize that like it's two branches of the same tree kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I there's something there. I think you could have made this whole movie about Ben Wong training.
Yeah.
Training Victor's character. That. Like Victor and like that been the movie and it been like, oh, it's the Karate Kid, but instead of the kid learning karate, it's the kid teaching karate. Like that's cool. That's a cool twist.
Yeah. And I think I think that part was actually I would have loved to see more. Listen, you know, I don't think this is a bad Karate Kid film. I've seen bad karate. I think, like, Karate Kid Part 3 and the next Karate Kid are down below this. I I even think even you could take probably even some seasons of Cobra Kai and put it below this. Like, I think this is actually a legit, well done film. Just I think, and I think this is a first time director. I could be wrong, but I think that you could have done a few little things to make this kind of almost like Mission Impossible, a few little things to tweak, and this would have been a little bit better. I still like the film. I'm probably more of the, with the, when I look at Rotten Tomatoes, more of the audience. Like, I really liked this movie. But as you know, as I've even sat on it, I'm like, there are things they could have done a little bit better. Someone asked me and Whitney when we were like talking about, like, so is it better than the original? I'm like, no, it's not better than the original. I may like it a little bit more than the 2010 one, just because I liked seeing both legacies together. I liked seeing the new things they tried to do with it rather than the same stuff of the old. It's not better than the original. It's not better than part two for me of the original Karate Kid, but I really like this film, and I think the positives for me outweigh the negatives. But that's just me on that. So,
yeah, I find myself feeling like that there are a lot of really good ingredients, but it just kind of came together in a messy way that like it could have been so much better. And it's almost maybe even more frustrating that like when you see the good elements and you're like, oh, I wish this was better. Like, why didn't you just do this? Or why didn't you just lean into the super hyper stylization of everything? Like, So that's probably where I'm at. It's more frustrating than anything where like there's some good stuff there, but
it sounds like though, like you had
kind of a mess.
Yeah, it sounds like though you had like a little bit of a better time than you thought with this film.
I expected it to be like, well, because I expected the last half of the film is what I expected the whole thing to be.
Yeah,
and I didn't like the last half of the film nearly as much as I liked the first half.
Right, I get
you. So again, that's it. Like, kind of like built me up and then tore me down. Like over the course of 90 minutes, where I was like, I'm like, oh, this is like way more interesting than I thought this was going to be. And then I'm like, oh, this is exactly what I thought it was going to be. I don't know. Like, what are we doing? It just,
I think it was an end credit scene. The scene
with Zabka.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did see that.
What'd you think of that?
I mean, you know, I love Billy Zabka. He's a legend. I wish that he was in more of the movie. I think in my Letterboxd review, I think I wrote needed more Zabka.
Needed more Zabka. Well, listen, like I get that. I think one of the reasons why I see why some people are saying like, oh, it should have been more like Cobra Kai. I think this movie, if it was more like Cobra Kai, it would have been like you would have said, first off, no, because even everything you got is a little bit better than what you probably would have gotten if it was more of a Cobra Kai movie. It's not. I like that it was trying to stand on its own as a film rather than rely on Cobra Kai. And I think that Cobra Kai, if you wanted to do a movie, you do a Netflix movie of Cobra Kai. I don't think you release it in theaters. I'll be honest, I could be wrong. I don't think a Cobra Kai movie would have made more than this movie. I think this movie I'm looking at now has made $89.9 million. I don't think it would have made. Yeah, I don't think it would have made more than that. Because it's Cobra Kai. It's people know it.
Yeah,
people love it, but not everybody's seen it. So,
I'm surprised that this movie that is doing as well as it has, because it feels like it really has like kind of flown under the radar. I mean, like I know it's gotten to the point now already, and this movie came out like 2 weeks ago, maybe.
May 8th.
Right after we recorded the last one. Wait. So
Sorry, I looked at the wrong thing. They have this weird thing on Box Office Mojo for Columbia. That's the earliest release date. It's May 30th.
Yeah, so like a little over 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we've already gotten to the point like at the Draft House where they're showing it like once a day at like 11:30 AM.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like it just kind of didn't have the legs to so I'm surprised that it's made that much money. If like I feel like I haven't heard a ton of people talk about it, and it kind of flown under the radar, but people like Karate Kid, I guess. And
look, you know, they did they shocked both of us a little bit with some of the plot stuff. Like, they tried to do something different. I'm like, hey,
yeah, credit, good job. Yeah, credit where it's due. They did some interesting things.
Yeah, they did some interesting things. But I like to, I think this is also like, it was interesting too, because you know in every Karate Kid movie, you have that final move.
Yeah.
I actually like how they did this, where it's like, it's not just a final move, it's your opponent thinks he knows what you're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
prove him wrong. Like, I like that they didn't just do, oh, a final move. It's like, no, use your opponent's, like, he's going to try to attack you thinking he knows exactly what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Use that to your advantage. Like, I like that. The whole training scene in the subway area was so funny. It's like, again, it's like, okay, I keep hitting my head on this. I'd be like, I'm done. I quit. I'm not doing the five boroughs. Sorry, guys. Bye. But no, I like that whole scene. I think that's the thing too. The scenes together with those three, I really like. I just wish that there was a better way for them to have connected them. Like, I like the interaction. I thought Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio did a great job together. I just think there's, I don't know. We kind of talked about it. It's like, there's almost some more connections you could have done, or different things you could have done. Maybe leave them out, maybe keep them in a little bit, whatever it is. But I overall, final thoughts, like, I thought this film was well done. I'll go ahead and give you my score. It's a 7.5 out of 10 for me.
7.5 out of 10, all right.
Unlike Mission Impossible, this one felt like it flowed well in terms of how long the film was. Like, by the end, I was like, oh,
yeah,
okay, that's a good runtime. That's a good solid hour and a half runtime. So,
yeah, I don't know. For me, I think it was just too messy. There's too much.
Fair.
Yeah, it just, like, there's good stuff. It just didn't all, like, come together in the right way for me.
Yeah.
I think it's like a 4 out of 10 for me.
That's fair.
It's not the worst movie I've seen, but it's also, like, not, I don't think it's great. I think it's just like, eh.
I'm just glad for you, man. I'm being honest, it's not a joke. Like, I'm glad too that you, like, actually, like, oh, I enjoyed that part of the, like, there was some,
yeah, there's stuff that I can appreciate. I just,
there just was didn't some love stuff
how
yeah.
it came together. Yeah,
I get you, man.
I wish they had leaned into the chaos a little bit more and leaned into the, like, super hyper stylized.
Yeah,
just go for it.
If they had kind of kept that, like, the five boroughs and beginning part, like, a little bit more stylized throughout the film, like, little bits and pieces would be,
yeah,
the moving art or stuff. I loved how they set up the five boroughs thing with the like, they really made it a, hey, what would a modern day Karate Kid tournament look like in New York? That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, we got it. But yeah, I agree with you. I would have liked some more of the stylized stuff too with it. So
yeah, it was all right, but not great for me.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay. So we've come to the main event, I guess, of this episode.
We've reached the point of no return, Jake.
Oh, that's a very accurate statement. Oh my gosh. Okay.
So, so I recommended a film.
Uh-huh.
It was a film about a video game that isn't really about a video game.
Nothing like the video game.
Recommended the Super Mario Bros. Movie from 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And the plot of the movie, it's hard to say, really, but...
He said, the plot of the movie.
So there's these plumbers, but there's also, like...
Dinosaurs!
there's a girl that hatches from an egg... And she gets captured by these people in an alternate reality or alternate, like, yeah, timeline.
Did we watch Super Mario Brothers? Are you sure that's the name of the movie? I'm still not sure right now.
And these two plumbers, Mario and Luigi Mario, go on a journey to, like, kind of save her. Kind of. That's the
kinda
best description. I don't, like, this is a tough one to describe. It's supposedly based on the video game Super Mario Brothers, but the only thing that it has in common with that franchise, I think,
are
is
names
that Mario and Luigi are brothers. Well, no, because they're not brothers. in this movie, technically.
Oh, yeah. No, they're not. Oh, my gosh. I forgot about that.
They are...
It's like uncle?
Co-workers, I guess.
Co-worker?
Like, yeah. It's like a weird, like... Because Luigi's, like, didn't know his parents. And so, like, Mario kind of adopted him, I guess. But, like... Mm-hmm. And I couldn't tell if it was like a father-son relationship or like an uncle.
Yeah.
All right. They weren't brothers, though.
Yeah.
I guess the only thing that it had in common with the video game is that they're both plumbers.
Yeah.
That's about it. Jake, I'm really curious to know what you thought about the 1993 Super Mario Bros. Movie.
Oh, man. So let me just say this. I have heard a tale or two of the Super Mario Brothers movie, and none of the tales I've heard have been good. And I've seen clips, and I'm like, what the heck is this craziness? Full disclosure, just to say something, my lovely co-host here, Graham, texted me, says, when you're thinking of whether or not I hate you by making you see the Super Mario Brothers movie, just know everything I'm doing for your gamer. That's basically what he sent on the text, and sent a picture of his Karate Kid movie thing. Listen, I am... So, going into this movie, I was expecting the worst thing I could ever watch. And I'm watching this film, and I'm like, this is bad. This is not as... And maybe it was that was the thing. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It's kind of like when somebody like tells you like, this is the greatest movie of all time, and you
and then
go and
you watch
it and
you're
like, oh, it's pretty good, but it's like, I'm kind of disappointed that it wasn't like my favorite movie ever. This is like the opposite of that.
Listen, and for all those people who love this movie, I get it, but that's how people they people did that to me with The Dark Knight and The Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
Movies that I think are good, but they made them like they were the best thing since sliced bread. I said, yeah, they're good. You don't think they're amazing? No, I said they're good. My gosh. Anyway, but no. So yeah, with this movie, man. So I'm looking at the critics' consensus for this movie on Rotten Tomatoes. Despite flashy sets and special effects, Super Mario Brothers is too light on story and substance to be any more than a novelty. I'll just say this. There's a lot of stuff going on with the story. There's so many crazy things happening.
It is pretty thick.
It's very thick for a story. For a movie that is... How long was this?
Like 100 minutes or something? It wasn't that long.
I'm going to say this. This may be a continuing thing like with Mission Impossible. This movie felt long.
It's 104.
This movie felt long.
I'll agree with you. It does drag. Like once they get to the Dino World thing,
yeah.
There's a period where it does kind of drag, and I'm like, all right, like
there are like moments where they get like, yeah, at the beginning it kind of flows pretty good, like right into each thing. Even the weird stuff, you're like, what is happening? Like, where is it? You know? But you're like, okay, all right, you're moving the plot along. Okay, the interesting, first off, no Peach mentioned in this film.
Peach is not in this movie.
Daisy's great, but no Peach. Not even Mario's love interest in the film was named Peach. Why not? Anyway, okay, regardless, I'll say this. This film, again, it was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. That doesn't make it great. I will say this, something we talked about, Graham, with Tron, the 1980, the fact that some, I gotta say, there's a lot of practical effects in this film that shocked me. And I was like, whoa, I was looking at something about it, the Yoshi animatronic.
Yeah.
I'm like, apparently it could do so many different movements. And I was like amazed at the little things they had. They were doing even some of the interestingly very weird special effects from like the dusting stuff to back and forth. Like, I was like, that's fascinating how they did it. I'm not saying it looks amazing. I'm just like, that's interesting. Like, it's like the Tron thing where some of the effects don't hold up, but man, you're fascinated with how they did it.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't look good, but it's so
Yeah.
It's such a product of its time.
Right.
Like they couldn't make a movie like that today because it would just be CG and it would just,
yeah.
That's like so much more boring than like this. It's so interesting. Everything looks so interesting and there's so much like, I don't know. I mean, that's like a $50 million movie in 1993 and you can tell like they put a lot of money and effort into this. And
yeah. It's a movie that does some different things. I actually, weirdly enough, for all of the craziness that this film entails with its thick story and everything, everybody acts pretty good. Like, they all feel like they're having some sort of fun doing this. Like, they seem to enjoy it. They seem to really have a good time. I think the guy playing Bowser was having way too much fun. King Koopa. Like, it's fascinating how they did it. The effects of the Goombas was so weird and interesting. Like I was, I think I'm more amazed with how everything looks and how they did it. The you know, it's not. I'm not saying it's a great line, but it's a line that you'll never forget. Trust the fungus. Trust the fungus. If I hear that one more time, I'm gonna scream. But like it was like, it's fascinating how they made a plot that, well, it's thick. I was understanding what was going on, but you could have called this movie something else. Don't call it Super Mario Brothers. And it probably would have been seen as a better film because it wasn't Super Mario Brothers. This movie, I thought the acting was good. I thought the effects looked crazy, like really cool in a lot of ways. It dragged for an hour and 40. We just talked about Karate Kid. I felt like that movie like paced well. This movie felt like it just dragged and dragged as it went on. There were some funny jokes. when you look up and hear interviews with like Bob Hoskins of how things that happened during this film, I think he got electrocuted a bunch of times. Like there's all this stuff that happened. And like, listen, I gotta give them credit where credit's due. Like they really tried to make a very unique film and all that stuff, but it just, even with all the stuff I'm saying, even with all the positives I'm saying on that, it just, by the end of it, I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry, this movie sucks. Like it just,
yeah,
it just. Yeah, that's what I got. That's it. That's my thoughts.
That's fair. It does a lot of things, and yeah, it's just kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like it was one of those movies where like Ashley and I were watching this, and I told her I was gonna watch it, and she was like gonna go run some errands or something.
Yeah,
and I put it on, and she like kind of watches the first couple of scenes with me. And she ended up deciding not to leave and watch the rest of the movie with me because, like, she was like, I can't believe like what I'm seeing, and I don't know what's gonna happen next. Like, it's so unbelievable, and every scene, like, there's a 50-50 chance that I'm gonna like scream because it's so outrageous, or laugh, or cry, or like, it's just like
so accurate,
it's so overwhelming,
and, like, so accurate.
And, not always in a good way. Like sometimes it's bad at times, but also like, I mean, you couldn't tell me that there's another movie you've ever seen that like is like this one. I mean, it's no, one of a kind.
Absolutely not. Yeah,
it really is. And I think I saw somebody like some one review I saw that called it like a good movie, but it's a really bad Mario movie.
Absolutely. I agree with that statement.
Because it just, none of it has anything to do with Mario. Like, it's just not.
But here's the thing, though. I'll say this about that person saying that. I still don't think this is a good movie. I think it would be a better movie if it didn't have the Mario name on it. That doesn't mean I think it's going to be an amazing movie. It doesn't jump from a 3 to a 10. Like, it doesn't do that. Like, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any? I don't really have any other thoughts, man, on this movie. This movie, like, my brain hurt sometimes watching it. I was like, what is happening?
I mean, I would, like, strongly recommend this movie because I really would because I think now, like, 30 years after this movie, 32 years after this movie came out, it's kind of been, like, thrown aside as this, like, that was a terrible movie.
Yep.
Like, that sucked. No, don't watch it. But I think, like, I think it's still worth watching. It's just, like, I go into it with an open mind because it's just unbelievable. Every scene.
Yeah.
There's a scene. This is a little bit of a spoiler, I guess. I mean, we're talking spoilers.
This is a 93. It's a 1993, yeah. Guys. If you haven't watched it, you don't want to watch it.
I would say, yeah, like, no, you do want to watch it. You should watch it. I would recommend, because it's just, yeah, it's so unique. But there's a scene, like, right at the end where they, like, vaporize the Twin Towers.
Oh, gosh.
And it was so shocking to me that I had to, like, rewind it and watch. I was like, is this real? Did this really just happen in this movie? Like,
bro.
Did they just do 9/11 in the Mario Bros. Movie?
Listen, the whole thing of the bad guy being at the top of a broken down Twin Tower, it rubbed me the wrong way, dude. It was weird. I didn't know how I felt about that. Like, that was...
It's unbelievable that they did that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, 93. But you gotta say, too, like, that movie, this came out before...
Right, so, like, I mean, yeah, they had no idea, like, which makes it somehow even more, like,
what?
Absurd, and yeah. And, like, this really just happened, like, that's what I said, like, I had to rewind it and watch it again, because I was like, there's no way I'm seeing this correctly.
Yeah, and you were, no, it's, yeah, this movie is interesting. I was looking up something funny about this, that would have been interesting. Ending, if you look up the IMDb of Super Mario, one of the things they actually say about the ending of this film is there's an alternate version. Again, I don't know how true this is, but now I want to know. There's an alternate version of this movie, which that came out in, I think they say it's the Italian release, the Italy release.
Yeah.
Where in the Italian release, the ending is cut so Mario and Luigi don't go back to Brooklyn.
I don't even know, like, what that means. Like,
okay, they don't go back to Brooklyn. That kind of, I mean, where's the movie end? Like, what do you mean? Like, I don't know. But there's that.
There's also, like, a 20-minute, like, director's, like, a 20-minute longer, like, director's cut of this movie or something.
You can watch that. I will not watch it.
That resurfaced, like, just 3 or 4 years ago that I haven't seen. We watched, I guess, the original theatrical version, but I would be interested. I don't know that I would want to watch it, but I would be interested to know
kind of like the,
what else is there.
Like Thomas and the Magic Railroad director's cut. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yeah, no, I will not watch this again for a long time, probably, but
I would watch it again. I'm glad, it's so unique and so weird. And so
now if someone was
it's almost unbelievable. Like, it's so unbelievable that, yeah, I feel like I have to watch it again to make sure I wasn't hallucinating this whole experience.
Hallucinating,
it was just wild.
I did tell people,
like, it does drag, like, a little bit at times, like, towards the kind of, like, two-thirds of the way through the movie. There are some points where it drags, but I never was, like, I don't know, I was never bored. Like, I was always, because you're always, like...
You're not bored, but it's such a ridiculous thing that's happening.
Yeah, but you're always in this position where you're, like, they could, literally anything could happen in this next scene. And,
oh, yeah, that's
I don't
true.
Know. It was very, I will say, like, it was very George Miller. Like, this movie came out before Babe 2. I didn't know, to tell you the truth, I didn't know that going into this movie,
okay,
that this
okay,
was going to
okay.
be, like, a George Miller, like, esque movie. But it really was, like, I mean, all the car scenes with, like, those, like, kind of retro-futuristic or whatever cop cars.
Yeah.
I mean, that's straight out of Mad
dude.
Max.
Now, listen, like, I want one
so
of those
Mad
cars.
Max.
I want one of those cars so bad. That was great.
Like, explosions and car chases, like, straight out of Mad Max.
Yes.
And then there are some scenes which feel straight out of Babe, Pig in the City.
Yes.
And some scenes, yeah, I mean, it's just, it totally feels like a George Miller movie. And maybe that's why I love it, because I do love George Miller. We've talked about that before, but...
Yes.
It it just is so wild and so unique, and they really swung for it, and they did. There are parts of it where it is not good.
Oh, and yes, many.
And yeah, and like things that leave you scratching your head. But I mean, I'm so glad I saw it, and I'm so glad I watched it. And
listen, I'm glad I watched it. But that doesn't mean I'm happy with what I saw. Like, I'm just, it's definitely, yeah. Man, that I was thinking too. I mean, look, the only thing that truly looked like anything from the game is the Bob Bombs.
Yeah, I did they like show, the Bob Bombs.
And the bullet bill. Yeah. Like, I thought it was like, oh, okay, that's, that looks like the game. Everything else, no.
Yeah, and like, even thinking about, like, you know, they did the animated Super Mario Bros. Movie.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago. And like, that movie and this movie could not be more different.
Oh, my goodness.
And just like the
goodness.
Way that they approach, like, how to adapt a video game to the screen. Because that one,
yeah,
like, is really just like, hey, you remember this thing from the video games? Well, here it is. Oh, you remember this thing? Oh, are you aware of this pop culture song?
Like, yeah.
This, and but then the 90s live action Super Mario Bros. Is like,
we're gonna do none of that.
You know Mario Bros? Yeah, this is not that at all. But we're gonna call it.
It's got the name, but
it's got the name, and it's like three or four of the characters are kind of similar. But
oh my gosh, dude!
I love how it does confirm that Mario and Luigi's full names are Mario
and
Luigi
Mario.
The scene where he's like, "What's your name, Mario? Your first name?" Mario. Like, it's so funny.
No. It's a Maya Maya and the Ouija Maya.
Yeah, Mario Mario and the Ouija Mario.
John Leguizamo's character as Luigi was great, I will say. Like,
yeah, I love John Leguizamo.
He's so great at what he does. Like, he can do something so serious like John Wick and then go and do Super Mario. And you're just like, what? You're not the same character anymore.
He's in a movie that came out recently called Bob Trevino Likes It, which I think is one of the best movies of the year.
Oh, okay.
It's fantastic.
Dude.
And yeah, and like, he's incredible. But yeah, he's pretty funny in this. Like,
again, everybody does a good job in this film. I it makes me realize just how much why Nintendo were so hesitant about doing any other Nintendo movie.
Like, that does make a lot of sense.
And the only reason why they're doing in like another Super Mario Brothers, because the other one not just made a lot of money, they were probably like, whew, okay, that went well, unlike the 93. Let's try one other one. And they choose, they're doing Legend of Zelda. I'm like, okay, like, they're slowly going for it. Not trying to throw everything at the wind. So, but I see now why that they waited, because this movie, I feel like Nintendo had no say in this film.
I mean, yeah, clearly not. Like, I mean, this is uncharted territory, like a video game film adaptation in 1993. Like, because, I mean, even at the time, like, 93 video games, like, a lot of video games didn't even have...
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, you think about Mario, like, the first couple of Mario games, there's not really a ton of story. It's just, right. Like, this is a guy, and he's
got to
go
save
the
princess. Yeah.
From this, like, turtle dude. And that's pretty much it. And, like, the rest of the game is just, like, here's a villain that we're going to create that, like, is tough to interact with, like, and we're just gonna like model him after like some sort of gameplay element, but it's all like kind of out of necessity of like the technology of the time that like, there's just no like, I mean, Mario doesn't have a character, he's just Mario.
Yeah,
like, he's just pixels on a screen. And so like, on one hand, it's like, how do you adapt that? And they kind of took that question and they said, well, let's throw out everything that we know, but even the little things that we do know about Mario, and we're just going to do something totally different.
Yeah.
And call them the same names.
Yeah. Before we get to our scores, did you watch the end scene of after the credits?
Is there a post-credit scene on Mario Bros? I missed that.
There's a post-credit scene. Do you want me to tell you me a way so you go see it?
Yeah, go ahead and tell me. Yeah.
So after the closing credits, some Japanese businessmen ask Iggy and Spike about appearing in a video game based on their adventures, and they make like jokes towards, like, you know, the Iggy and Spike, you know, like the bros or whatever.
That's funny.
It's fun. It's actually a really funny scene.
I would have never expected a post-credit scene in this movie.
The whole thing at the end where Daisy's like, I need your help. I'm like, you guys aren't getting a sequel. I'm sorry. You're not getting it.
We sat through a good percentage of the credits, but not out of like, just out of shock and like trying to process what we saw. Cause we're just like,
what happened?
That was a movie. I didn't even know how I felt about it for the first like probably day after I saw it. Like, it was just so,
it was weird. It's shocking, weird, crazy. Like, you're really not sure what you've just watched.
It's a real assault of the senses.
It's like, a real assault of the senses is crazy.
This movie is crazy. Like, I can't even find words to describe it.
I agree.
I think everybody should watch it. Like, because I think it really is a miracle, and it's amazing that it got made. And
it is. It really is. Oh man.
And we're better off for it existing, I think. But
okay.
You might disagree.
Let's not go too far. All right.
I had a great time watching. We had a great time. It was so enjoyable.
I was watching it by myself in my house. I'm just like, what the heck? What is happening?
I could totally see why people didn't like it, and like now and then, like, I totally get it. But
I want to show this movie to my students and youth. See what their reaction is. They probably
there's
like.
There's always like. What? There's always a question of people that are like, if you could go back to like, you know, 1776 and show them one movie, like, what would you show them? I think for me, it might be Super Mario Bros.
yeah. Just to see their reactions.
Or I would show them, like, I would go George Miller and show them like Mad Max and be like, this is a documentary.
The whole dancing in the elevator. What the heck?
It doesn't really make any sense.
They're like, I got this. I'm like, what do you mean you got this? What's the point of this?
Yeah, so much of it doesn't like make any sense.
Yeah,
and you're just like, all right, you just have to kind of accept that.
That
we're just
ridiculous.
Gonna move on to the next scene. And,
yeah,
I mean, there's a character who like, with complete sincerity, introduces Mario and Luigi to her father, who is a giant fungus.
That scene was so. Yeah, no, just no.
It's great.
Nothing
could have prepared me for watching this movie.
And if
you're listening to this, you should watch this movie too, because
don't watch it by yourself. Don't do what I did. Watch it with a bunch of friends.
Did you watch it by yourself, Jake?
Yes. Tell
that's,
your friends.
That'd be a really funny way to watch this movie.
Listen, tell your friends we're watching. It's the movie is a mystery. You don't get to find out what it is until we start playing it. Okay?
And even
and you're not
movie,
allowed
you
to leave once you find out what it is. Like, you have to watch it. Like that.
If you cut out the title sequence, how long do you think it would take them to figure out like what movie they're watching? I don't know. Like,
oh, if you cut out the title,
you'd be like,
oh,
you'd, yeah, like
I think
you'd
it
be
would
like,
take
why
them.
Why are these two characters named Mario and Luigi? Like, they're from the game, but
well, I think they would be like, they'd be like, oh, it's a Mario and Luigi movie. Once they hear their game, you know, hear that they're plumbers, you know, see their truck and everything. But then they get to the Dino World. They're like, is this like a weird amalgamation of Nintendo? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, it was just.
I think they would be completely confused after about 15 minutes.
Yeah, and that's fair.
Yeah. So
I also was pretty confused. I mean, 15 minutes in, and so, I willingly signed up to watch it. So
yeah,
I can only imagine.
I was forced to against my will. I'm just kidding.
That's fine. Right. You can get me back. You'll get me back one of these days, I'm sure. So
maybe today we'll see.
Perhaps.
But all right, Graham. What was your rating of this movie? Give me your 4 out of 10.
It's not perfect. It's got a lot of flaws. It's a lot of fun, and it's it's kind of crazy, and there's a part of me that really likes it, and there's a part of me that understands why people don't like it. I think I'd give this a 7 out of 10, but I strongly recommend anyone listening to this to go and watch this movie for themselves, because you'll never see anything else like it. 7 out of 10 for me.
7 out of 10.
Yeah, 7 out of 10 for me. Okay. I think Ashley gave it an 8 out of 10.
Oh, that, no, okay. All right, then. Okay. Oh, man. I'm nowhere near you. I think you mentioned Babe 2, Big of the City. I think this film is better than that. Giving it solid 4.5.
4.5 out of 10.
The half right, so is given for crazy.
It's like the opposite of how we felt about Karate Kid. Yes.
I give it a 4.5 only because it was better than better than it had any business being. And on top of that, it was just crazy. You really didn't know what was going to happen.
I mean, that's a fair score. Like, I really enjoyed this movie, but I can definitely understand why somebody would give it that. Like,
yeah.
It makes sense to me. it's almost unrateable, because like I could see this being somebody's favorite movie. Like, it's so absurd. I could totally see somebody loving this movie, and I can also totally understand why in 1993 like people hated it and why it's considered like a really bad movie. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I just personally really thought it was really awesome. It was great. I thought it was crazy enough to be awesome.
Okay. All right. So Graham.
All right, so are you going to get me back, Jake?
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. I have two movies that I know I've bought in recent years, but they're like those $4.99 on Movies Anywhere, and I was like, ooh,
let's go.
I want to watch it. So, but I haven't watched these. So I got two movies. You get to pick a number between. You can pick one or two. Pick one or two.
Oh, man. Pick one or two. Well, I'm going to. There's two Mario Brothers, so I'm going to go with number two.
Gosh. Okay. Have you watched the film 1984's The Last Starfighter?
The Last Starfighter? I don't think I've ever even heard of that.
Okay. Well, then that's the movie we are going to be watching next, or we're going to be talking about next time.
The Last Starfighter. Oh, this looks like a gem.
Well, I'm excited to watch this. Wow. I'm excited to talk about this one with you. I've never seen this one.
Yeah, this is a mid-80s movie that looks like it's video game
esque.
So it could be like a Tron Mario.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're kind of sticking on the same theme here. I love this.
Yeah. So we're gonna do that. The other option I'll save for another time. But
excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, one of these days, right. I'm going to, like, watch. We're going to watch the movie and be like, man, we both had a good time. So next time, I got to really do a good job at picking a bad movie.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you know, like I said with Super Mario Bros., you got to keep your mind open. This could be the greatest movie ever made.
It could be.
It probably isn't, but it could be.
It could be the next Lord of the Rings, you know?
For whatever that means.
For whatever that means. We will be watching 1984's The Last Starfighter we'll be talking about that when we come back on the next episode of the podcast.
Go find a copy of that if you can.
I already own a copy, so I'm good. It's an hour and 40 minutes too, so it shouldn't be long. Hopefully it doesn't feel long. I feel like that's been a running thing of these movies. Oh, man. All right, Graham, do you have anything else?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I think for the next episode, have we decided? I think we're probably going to watch and talk about How to Train Your Dragon.
The live-action remake of How to Train Your Dragon.
The slightly less animated version of How to Train Your Dragon.
Talk about that one. Well, do we have another one out in theater?
Elio comes out this weekend.
Yes,
so
we'll probably talk about that.
Before 2 weeks from now when we record the next episode.
Yeah. So we'll talk about How to Train Your Dragon, the live-action remake, as Graham put it, the slightly less animated version. We will be talking about Elio, the Pixar film that's coming out very soon, and we will be talking about 1984's The Last Starfighter. Graham, it's been a fun time doing this, hasn't
it's been a pleasure. Looking forward to the next one, Jake.
All right. See you guys next time.